Three Peeps in a Podcast.
Hello and welcome to this bonus show of Three Peeps in a Podcast. On these bonus shows, we chew the fat on the Bristol City performance, either on the day or the day after. We're recording this on Sunday. We've just witnessed the midday kickoff of Bristol City versus Sheffield Wednesday. We've got a few guests today. I'll bring them in throughout the show, but we've got my regular co-host for these bonus shows, Matt Withers. Matt, how you doing?
Yeah, hi Patch, UK.
Yeah, doing well. We've got Rob, who was on with us last week. And Rob, you're going to start us off with a bit of a brain teaser that we're going to mull over for the rest of this podcast and then come back to at the end. You have to remind me to come back to it at the end because otherwise I might close it down. But go for the brain teaser first, Rob. What have you got?
Okie dokie. Well, something to take the pain away by distracting us, I think. So the teaser is, name six players who've made 300 plus premiership appearances whose surname starts and ends with the same letter.
Oh, Christ. Okay. I might have to make a note of that one. So six players,
yeah,
with over 300 Premier League appearances that all start and end with the same letter.
The surname starts and ends.
Surname. Okay, yeah. Right. Okay, chaps, you got that. Write that down and we'll come back to that at the end. So let's get into today's game. It was me. I watched the game on Sky. I listened to Robin's TV and I also tried to listen to the Radio Bristol commentary as well, just to get a full flavour and see how they are all progressing. But obviously the Sky TV picture was a good 50 seconds ahead of all of the others, so that was my main source. But Matt, I'm going to come to you first. Seven changes from the team we saw at Blackburn. Some we expected and some maybe we didn't. But first of all, team selection for you.
Yeah, I guess for me, some we expected. So I called out last week about I would have started with Nicky Mainpur, and then everything that I've seen Lee Johnson say during the week, I was convinced he wasn't and that Dan Bentley would start. So that did surprise me. Benikofobe coming in, Mackie Wells coming in, again, I called for. And I think, I expected that, although I didn't see him playing Benik left midfield, but still. And then, you know, defensively, I suppose it was a pick of whether he had to bring Jack Hunt in because Pereira was injured. Callas wasn't great last week, but then necessarily was Nathan Baker, so no real surprise there. The midfield surprised me. I didn't expect Corey Smith and Han Noah to start both. I expected Nash to come in. And I also expected Callum O'Dowda to drop out. So it kind of did a few things that surprised me. But generally, I was probably, if I'm honest, pleased with the selection. I thought he'd probably, near as damn it, got most of what I would have thought, you know, would have been the starting team. And that was pretty much as good as it got, I think.
Okay, let's just come to Martin next. Martin, your thoughts on team selection? Were you a Bentley or a Mainpur to start?
I go Mainpur. I think he's safer than Bentley. I think lately Bentley's made a few too many mistakes. Other things is I wouldn't have played Williams. I would have given Callas another go. And I think on paper, the selection probably wasn't far wrong. I'm a big Nadj fan. But I think formation-wise, we just fell into their trap. We tried to stop them playing instead of playing ourselves.
Yeah.
We should have played down the lines. We signed a big centre-forward in a Fobe, a decent centre-forward. We didn't play in a centre-forward.
Absolutely. No, it was a strange setup up top. When you saw it on paper, I was almost thinking a 4-2-2-2 was what we were going to play with. But then Lee Johnson came on just before the match and was saying that he is going 4-3-3, which again, you think, right, okay, how are they going to line up top? And it was, and the stats and the position, the heat map on Sky showed it, that Fobe was all down the left-hand side in positions where he's not effective. You expected the wide right sort of scenario from Weimann or almost in behind, but we just didn't see the partnership of Afobe and Wells because they were too far apart. And it's schoolboy stuff. I can remember playing under-18s and that sort of level is when I was playing up front with someone else, it was always get closer, so that they can feed off each other and play off each other. But it just didn't happen. And also, it reminded me of like playing a veterans game where you had a massive pitch. No one's fit enough to cover the whole pitch. So you had the defense, the midfield, and then the strikers. And there was always a massive gap in the middle. And I said, you know, unless O'Dowda is literally running his socks off and Weimann is doing what he usually does, we're going to have that big gap. And that was what was proven. There's a massive gap. Rob, this come to you. What were your thoughts initially on team selection?
Well, a couple of things. We talked about mind pass, so no problem at all with that one. Fullbacks, again, as expected. Centre halves on paper, all right with it. We also, at the tail end of last week, talked about 4-3-3 and how a lot of the successful sides are now deploying a 4-3-3. And my question was, do we have the right kind of strikers to be playing that? I'll refer back to using Liverpool as the model, if you like, and you look at Salah and Mane's mobility, and they don't play that Salah is wide on the left and Mane is wide on the right or anything like that. Exactly what you said, Patch. They move as a dynamic, interchanging unit of three. Yeah. So if Weimann is going out wide right, then you would expect a Fobi to come in and make a two in the middle. And then vice versa, if it was out on the left, you'd expect Weimann to come in off the flank. But I think they literally did play three just individual positions with no mobility. So it does ask the question, do we have the suitable forwards for that? Secondly, I just cannot see that Callum O'Dowda should be in there at all. If you're playing a three-man midfield, there's your opportunity to bring in Palmer. Mm. And again, we've missed out on that opportunity. I mean, you'll cover the substitution later, but for me, the second goal came about immediately after bringing Eliasson on and leaving our total central midfielder being Corey Smith. Yeah. And lo and behold, they just walked through a complete empty middle of the park, won a corner, there's a second goal. And it wasn't a shock. So I really don't have a clue what Johnson's doing at the moment.
Let's bring in Del Bussey. Thanks for joining us, Del. Your thoughts on team selection, and then just talk to us through the first sort of first part of the first half, which actually didn't look too bad.
Yeah, hiya, Patch. Can you hear me?
Yeah, all good.
Yeah. The team selection I thought wasn't too bad. Going back to what Rob just said about with the 4-3-3, you know, Afobe isn't a sort of like a winger type player to play in that wide position. I know we got the interchanging, but I thought maybe, you know, if you're going to do that, maybe Eliasson could play on that sort of wide position in a front three. I mean, I thought we started well, didn't we, really? The first 10 minutes, I thought we probably played as well as we did, you know, for the whole 90 minutes last week. And then we could have scored, obviously, a great save from the keeper, from Baker's header. And, you know, I thought the tempo was good. And then it was just a sucker punch, wasn't it, really? You know, the set piece. You know, Jack Hunt's got caught a bit of flat foot. It's probably in that area where Didju, if he was playing, would have probably headed that clear. If he was playing on that front post, we've seen him make those clearances time and time again. And then, you know, you get that feeling once we're behind, you know, have we got the know-how and the creativity to get back in the game? And when we're, you know, how many times this season or last season when we're at home, where we go a goal down, we seem to struggle to get back into the game, Patch. So, disappointing, really, you know.
Yeah, just on that goal, we were on top, and it was really a sucker punch, and you could see that Baker had lost the man, and whether it was something they worked on in training, but he was clearly blocked from getting. But there should be more, you know, awareness of that might happen, and other players could clearly see that Wickham, who was the tallest player, you know, in the box probably at that moment, was free to head the ball. And he had a good 5 yards around him with literally no one, got so much space. And I could hear my dad screaming from 4 or 5 miles away, why wasn't there anyone on the post? Because that was his greatest shout all the time. There's no one on the post, and he would always say it, you know, a good sort of minute or so before the ball comes in, he could see it coming. So yeah, that's something that I was you know, pointing out as going to be a problem. But great header, fair play to him, took it well. But I still felt, because we were playing so well, that and they said Sheffield Wednesday have gone up and lost from winning positions more than any team in the league. So still quite, you know, upbeat about it. But Matt, talk us through sort of the rest of the first half. It sort of just flew by, didn't it?
It did. but I don't think, I just got the feeling after they'd scored that we weren't going to get back in it. I really didn't expect us to do anything. We had no creativity. I mean, Rob's point about, you know, Casey Palmer, you know, I'm a big fan of Casey Palmer's. There's obviously for me an issue with Lee Johnston and Casey Palmer. So I just felt with the players we had, you've got two defensive midfielders in Corey Smith and Han Noah. Han Noah seems to have had any kind of forward-thinking, attacking mindset coached out of him. You know, I think back to his first game. I think it was his first game for us. He ended up having two sort of diving headers that he nearly scored from. And you don't see the bloke in the box now. Rob's point about Callum O'Dowda, again, I get. I actually thought he probably did what he tends to do at the moment, where he ran around a lot, sort of got involved a little bit, but there wasn't any end product whatsoever. And I just couldn't see us getting anywhere. It was always going to be more likely to be a mistake from Wednesday than any, you know, maybe a set piece, but nothing from a creative point of view. You've got the usual thing, Jack Hunt playing a curled little ball up the line, over hit for Andy Wyman to absolutely run his socks off and not be able to get anywhere. And yeah, there was just nothing. I couldn't say anything positive about the rest of that first half. I really couldn't. Mm.
Yeah, and then we obviously got into the break, and I fully expected a change, but we came out the second half, no changes. Yeah. And then the cards started to get played, and they continued to get played more or less right up until the end, which didn't include Palmer. Let's talk about that first, as you brought that up, Matt. Where do you think it's gone wrong for the relationship between Casey Palmer and Lee Johnston? Has there been an incident? Do we know of any incident? Or someone was saying on Twitter about something that happened at the Shrewsbury replay, but I don't quite know what that was.
Nothing that I'm aware of. I mean, I was there. I can't recall anything that happened. But I think this is the problem I've got with Lee Johnston at the moment, is he struggles to get the best out of the ball players we've got in the squad. You know, Casey Palmer's case in point, but I don't think if he's still here next season that Liam Walsh will get enough of a run in the side, because he's a footballer in the same way as Lee Tomlin didn't get any kind of look in. There were other issues with it, but I genuinely think he has to have an issue with Casey Palmer, because for me, late in the game when we're chasing it, and you know, we'll go on to second half, but the subs that he made with Palmer still being on the bench, I couldn't fathom out. And Casey Palmer isn't everybody's cup of tea, I get that. But, you know, as I said, we had no creativity. He was probably, and probably alongside Eliasson, the only likely source through the middle of the pitch that we had that could open anything up.
So we brought Eliasson on in the 56th minute, and obviously that ignited us a little bit. Then we saw Naj and Zizou introduced in about the 64th minute. So Del, what were your thoughts when we went 2-0 down and were languishing a little bit? Was that the right changes for you? And did you understand the formation?
Eliasson, I can understand Eliasson coming on. Did you again? Again, like you said, going back to Matt's point, I think it was crying out for Palmer, really. That creativity, because we just didn't, we never really got behind them. You know, to have anyone with any, I can't see any other player at the moment playing in that central area. Callum O'Dowd is not going to be threading pinpoint passes through, either for wide men to run in behind the fullbacks, or the balls for the strikers to run in between the centre backs and the fullbacks. No one else has got that sort of vision. And that's going back to our original point of when, you know, when we're chasing a game, we don't look like we're going to score unless we have players of that ability on the pitch. Naj obviously is a defensive holding midfield player and do a job, but obviously when you're 2-0 down, you know, Patterson I think came on too late as well. And yeah, I just think it was just all, I mean, going back to Parma, I just don't, what's the point of naming him on the bench if you're not going to bring him on? You know, you got five subs as well to bring on. You know, you're 2-0 down at home. And you know, to name him and then not bring him on, it just, it's almost like he's making a point. Yeah. I'm not sure, but it seems like that, doesn't it? You know?
It does, yeah, it certainly does. And it's a very hard pill to swallow because we are all, let's get it out there, we're all very passionate about the club and you know, we've got lots of years of watching Bristol City behind us and knowing what we think works might not necessarily be, you know, what clearly isn't what he thinks works. And the fact that everyone's been crying out for Palmer, I'm starting to think it is a bit of a statement from him that, you know, I'm in charge, not you, which is a shame because I think that's where Cottrell eventually, you know, got his marching orders when it was clear that he was being a bit like that, a bit stubborn in his team selection. But I do want Lee Johnson to succeed, but these things are just happening now and we aren't looking like we aren't going to finish above where we finished last season. And that's where he's sort of hung his hat on that year-on-year improvement for the last four seasons. But be interesting to see if he doesn't get that this season, whether Lansdowne will pull the trigger on that. Best bring Martin back in. Martin, we came back into the game. Another great header, great rising header from Nathan Baker, which was sort of caused by Zizou putting himself about a bit within minutes of coming on, and Wales finished well.
Yeah, I think, again, on the Palmer's got to play, and we just create nothing apart from long balls without him. And I think, I almost, kind of taking a step back, I almost wonder if it's actually Johnson that signed him, because we knew exactly what we were getting with Palmer. It's not as if we're signing an unknown player. And if Johnson couldn't build a side around him, why waste the money?
The thing is, Mark, I was at Hull, and I've said this to Patch, I was at Hull in the last game of the season last year.
Yeah.
Palmer was given all the indications that was it. And I was amazed he signed in the summer. So, you hear a lot of that did Johnson sign this player? Did he sanction that move? What manager doesn't? So, but you can't help but question it, because why have you spent $5 million on a bloke and he stays on the bench?
The fact we also went down and signed Smodage, who's to an extent a similar player, made me think, well, Palmer's not available.
Yeah.
And then when he became available, they signed him, but it's similar situation to Tomlin. To these quality players, you've got to build a side around them if you want to play them.
Yeah, and in the post-match, Lee Johnson was saying that we need a Barry Bannon type player, and that just really.
It what's annoying about that is he says that every time we play Sheffield Wednesday. So if you need a Barry Bannon type player, go buy and him. Sign the blue. Or if not, I've got an idea. Try and mark Barry Bannon. Or put someone on a job on him. And I wrote about it in tomorrow's column. It excuse my French, pisses me off that I have to hear that every time we haven't got a Barry Bannon type player. You know, I think they'll put it Palmer, but you know, yeah. Sorry,
Bob. I've also got to jump in on the, I alluded to it earlier and just tying in with that point. Patch, I think you said 56th minute that second, the substitution.
Yeah.
So I go back to my point. So, okay, Johnson's already bemoaning the influence that Barry Bannon has on against us. So let's just remind ourselves that substitution of bringing Eliasson on in a 4-3-3, that was Eliasson top left, Vinon top right. Eliasson top left. With Afobe and Wells, there's your front three. So then we had a central three of Callum O'Dowda, winger, Corey Smith, and Andy Vyman, striker. Yeah. And no sooner had he done it I knew that they were about to score again. I couldn't text it to you quick enough, Patch. honestly, it was just the wide expanse. I just think, what are you doing? You are literally just playing with no midfield. And it just incredible. If you're going to bring Elias, if you're going to take Masengo off, you had to bring a central midfielder on.
I had a text from a friend who obviously watched the game on Sky. He doesn't go down the ground very much, watches City rarely. And his text really summed things up for me. And he said, just my opinion, but that's possibly the best squad of players that we've had at Ashton Gate for 30 plus years. Yet they just do not seem to have a way of playing that they understand or that suits them. As much as I like Johnson as a person, I feel that he now has an excellent toolbox, but just doesn't know how to use his tools. What a depressing performance. Pretty much nailed it, haven't he?
Spot on. Exactly what Rob said. I don't know how many of us would have started with Corey Smith and Han Noah after last week, but again, arguably, you know, give him another go. But that substitution, Nash had to come on. And again, on the back of last week, we don't know what the situation was. It could have been illness, it could have been anything. But you just felt, when you knew Han Noah was coming off, that Nash was going to be the one coming on, you know, if he was going to. And he didn't, you know, he kept Afobe where he did on the left. I don't know if you heard Afobe speak afterwards, Rob. I mean, I think it sums the class of the man up.
Yeah, he spoke really well.
Yeah, I mean, he was full of praise for Lee Johnson. Said that, you know, the manager had pointed out to him that he often drifted out there anyway when he played Central League. Well, not in the games that I watched, but. and, you know, kept saying how he had his back and he'd kind of play anywhere. And that's great, but, you know, Was Afobe doing more for you than Naki Wells was at the time? Because he was for me, and that's what surprised me when Naki Wells kept on, if he was going to make that change. But Rob's point about that fluidity, he does it quite often with his wingers. He will swap them across. I really thought that those front three would interchange and Naki Wells would pull out left and Afobe would come in the middle or, you know, Wyman. None of it. It was so rigid. Against a Sheffield Wednesday side who set up their banks and that was it. We weren't getting through them.
Well, Sheffield Wednesday had zero changes from their previous game. I don't even know where they got in their previous game.
They drew, so they
got a point.
And last minute equaliser, they got battered, I think, didn't it, by Forest. But yeah, they drew.
But they are the same 11. They all knew who was playing where. They all knew that he would be there. They all knew that Barry Bannon would be there if they passed the ball into that area without even looking. We've got three players up front who are all decent players, but have never played together. They don't know clearly what their roles are up there. And you've got Masengo and Smith in the middle three who are always looking backwards or sideways. So that was what I was thinking. But though Dowda, he's going to have a hell of a game. And a couple of times in the first half, he did get the ball and burst forward. But nowhere near enough, and there was no.
But we were surprised, Patch. We were surprised, and that sums it up. You're almost saying, "Oh, crikey, Callum's done something."
Yeah.
you want players that you expect them to do something, not be surprised when they do. And going back to what you said about a toolkit, I think the problem there is he's got too many tools for him.
Definitely.
He wants to play with every single one of them, bar Casey Palmer. And he wants to do it in different ways because he wants to be seen as clever. Yeah. But the best that we ever did under Johnson was that cut run where we literally only had 13 players week in, week out.
Yeah,
and things didn't change.
And the man management side of almost being one of the lads and Pally with them, that's what drove that forward for me. And I think he's great at that. That's something that he shines on. But, you know, he's looking at me over my shoulder here, getting a bit getting a bit eerie. But sorry, Lee. I can completely agree. We've got, as the tech said, a great squad, all players capable of an 8 out of 10 performance. Never play an 8 out of 10 performance at the same time as each other. Rarely do we get that. Maybe two or three of them do. And particularly in the last 10 games, where we've only won once, I think, now in the last 10 games, it almost is a lottery. It's a lottery of picking a team, dump work, move on to next game, seven changes. We're playing Wednesday. I fully expect 5-6 changes in another formation that which you haven't seen before. But yeah, we did come back into the game. So good header from Wells, pretty similar to the one he scored last in the Fulham game. And then again, the game just drifted, and I don't know about you, but that 45 minutes just seemed to absolutely fly by. And I was watching it thinking, oh my God, it's a 74th minute. And I don't know where that sort of came from. But Martin, did you see anything in the second half? Any positives you can take from that?
Not really. I just think we failed to take a grip on a game, because I think when you play Baker and Williams at the back, you're lacking pace as well. So their first move is to back off the game. So you're making the pitch just too long for the midfield to cover as well.
Yeah. Were you happy with Williams coming in for Halas?
No, not at all. I fail to see you get Benkovic, who's a Premier League centre half, allegedly. We sit him on the bench. Williams and Baker, as defenders, they're okay. I thought Baker was at fault for the goal today. But their distribution is woeful.
Yeah, I think what it surprises me, Mark, is, and you called it with Benkovic, I think Benkovic is meant to be a ball player. You know, what we've seen, he is a bit of a ball playing centre-half. The best ball playing centre-half we've got at a club, he's loaned out to lower leagues.
No
one can convince me that Taylor Moore is not better than anything that we've seen this season playing at centre-half. You just can't convince me of it.
He was actually doing the...
mistakes, but is he making any more mistakes than Nathan Baker? Kalas, who's been awful this season. Mm. I just don't see it. And then you get the forgotten man, Zach Viner, comes in.
Yeah.
Which...
Do you reckon he was... When Viner came on, I'll just come back to Taylor Moore in a minute, but when Viner came on, do you think he was told to just have a shot from anywhere? Because he seemed to, didn't he?
the first one, I don't think he's ever even scored that in five-a-side, let alone... to try and hit one from there like that just showed a bloke who feels like he's got to try and prove and make a point. You know, he a bit like we say about Palmer, but he's coming onto the pitch knowing he really needs to probably do something to try and force his way into Lee Johnson's plans.
I said to you about earlier, I don't think Taylor Moore's any worse than the two centre halves. I don't think Viner's any worse than Hunt.
Yeah.
Why are you spending that money for these other players?
I expect Viner to start Wednesday. I think Jack Hunt made that mistake for the second goal, and it was a terrible mistake. I don't rate Jack Hunt, I'll be honest. But I expect him to start Viner on Wednesday, because that's the way Lee Johnson works.
I thought Viner looked full of energy, to be honest.
Yeah.
You know, we actually looked our most dynamic once Viner came on. That's how bad it had been up till then.
Yeah.
So it's just quickly on Taylor Moore. He was doing the co-commentary, which I have one eye on Robin's TV.
Yeah.
And he was quite critical, actually. It was quite refreshing, saying he'd be really digging into a few of the players. And he was just kept saying, I just wish I was out there. So he's clearly driven. And I was really happy with him at the start of the season. I was really surprised when we let him go out.
I was amazed, absolutely amazed. And like I said, for me, you've lost probably the best ball-playing centre-half in the Championship in Webster. Not lost, but, you know, you've sold him. The only ball-playing centre-half we had then at the club wanting to do the philosophy that Johnson wants was Taylor Moore, because Baker and Williams can't do that. That's not... Martin said it. They're defenders, but neither of them can pass the ball 10 yards, and all they do is hoof it. So, you know, we were playing hoof ball most of the game, I thought, and that stems from the centre-halves and a midfield with no creativity.
Man management, again, I'd put that down to.
Definitely.
So he's got, I've got a few too many here. I'm going to disappoint some. You know what?
Let's get rid of the youngsters.
I'll keep the senior pros.
Yeah.
I just don't think he has that ruthless selection, and he just wants to appease everybody.
Yeah.
But nobody, I mean, you talk about 8 out of 10 performances week in, week out. The problem is each of those players doesn't know who he's playing alongside week in, week out. And that unfamiliarity is really that's the elephant in the room for me.
Exactly. And you went back to the cup run. you could pick this, the 11 pick themselves, yeah, even though you say we only had sort of 13, 14 players. We did have more, but you knew exactly what the formation was going to be. You knew who was going to do the pressing. You knew who was going to do the tracking, which, and we've that team got the heart ripped out of it slowly with, ended up with Pack and Brownhill. That was the heart that was been ripped out this season. So we are literally finding our way again. And it's a shame, but that, I mean, they all moved on for their own or the various reasons. But you still thought that the people that he brought in, we still had a chance of building on what we had. And you'd still look at it and think, you know, we've still got the players, but it's putting them in and getting the best out of them, I think, that we're struggling with. Dale, what
this squad, Rob, Pat, is,
go on, mate.
This squad is more than capable of being in the playoffs. But when you look at the likes of Brentford and the football that Brentford play,
margin in front of us.
Oh my God, the resources they've got in comparison. And I was chatting to my brother-in-law. Yeah, I know they've got players in and around London that will go there. But the, you know. Yeah, I hate to use the word, but I don't know what else to say. You know the identity of Brentford. You know the identity of Fulham, of Forest. I don't know what we are anymore. We definitely don't press high. Lee Johnson talks about it after games. And I'm thinking, I didn't see it.
Nah.
He said tonight that he saw signs today. And again, I wrote it. He saw signs today that convinced him we could go on another one of those winning runs. Sorry. I'd like to know what the signs were because I didn't see it.
Got to get some shots in on goal, first of all.
Exactly. Yeah, I think it's smoke and mirrors.
Yeah.
He's like a politician now. I've lost belief in what he's saying because he's trying to talk a clever game.
Yeah.
But there's too many things that we can see with our own eyes now to makes all of it lack a little bit of belief for me. I just can't see it. I think it's flannel.
Yeah, I had to get rid of it.
Yeah.
I could feel eyes digging in the back of my head. Absolutely, Rob. And obviously the game literally petered out. There was a couple of chances. Patterson was never a penalty. Don't quite know what he was going for there. We had a great opportunity with a free kick. Eliasson didn't even clear the first defender. That's nothing frustrates me more than at any point in the game that a professional footballer cannot get the ball over the first defender, whether it's a corner or a free kick. I just don't understand it. It's something that really winds me up. And, you know, anything could have happened there. Baker was up again. You know, you had a Zizou in the box. You could have got a point, but, you know, it didn't happen. So we are where we are. We're 5 points adrift now in a pack of six or seven teams, whereas before going into the Blackburn game, buoyant as we all were, it could be a slightly different story now when we could still be in with it. So starting with Dell, what's your thoughts on the playoff campaign now? Over or still in with the shape?
I think, like all the boys have been saying, to be honest, I think...
On mute, Dell.
Sorry, am I mute?
No,
I
can't.
No, you're right.
Yeah, I'm just saying the... I think it's over, to be honest here. You've got to be, you know, I think we'd all be deluded if we all sat here and say that we're, you know, we can get back in there. I mean, seven games to go.
Seven.
And we still haven't got a spine of the side patch.
Yeah.
You know, it's chopping and changing. How can you have any sort of momentum in football? Or, you know, I know results, but we've got no partnerships anywhere across the pitch. You know, people, no understanding. I mean, Corey Smith, how many times today when he had the ball, was he putting his arms out because there was no one available or, you know, he had no options? And I don't know. It just seems that it's... Lee seems like a bit desperate now. It seems like he's just rolling the dice and he's just coming up. I mean, if that's what they worked on again this week, that 4-3-3, I'm flabbergasted, to be honest with you. I mean, I looked, my first reaction when that team came out today, I thought it was a 4-4-2. You know, and I thought, oh, maybe, you know, it's a bit naive because we really haven't got anybody, you know, two midfield players in at the club now who can play in it who are strong enough, you know, to control the game. And, you know, I made a sarcastic tweet this morning. I think you saw it, Patch, about the cardboard cutouts. You know, going early goal, you know, and then, you know, the second goal going in and the crowd starts shouting, you don't know what you're doing, and, you know, the cardboard cutouts then walking out. And you could say that you knew that Barry Bannon was going to be man of the match. You know, you just knew. How many times has that happened again? He's just controlled the game against us today. And his lessons not learned. And like Rob said, the post-match interviews now are just getting tired of it now. And I just felt today, you know, when we go on these losing runs, I think this one feels different. It just feels like he's gone for a full circle now. And I think it is, his time is up. You know, I'm not bringing Casey on today. I thought that was quite pivotal, really. You know, when you see managers who are coming to the end of their time and they're stubborn, you saw it, you know, Pogba with Mourinho, Hullet with Shearer, keeping the best player, a good player on the bench. And it's a them or us situation. I think he's got to that point now. I really do.
I mean, we have been hanging our hopes on Casey Palmer now for quite a few games. And he may well start the next game and have a poor game. You know, it's what happened with Eliasson. We were all calling for Eliasson to be our saviour. And then he drifted off a bit once he started every game. So, you know, as much as we'd love to have seen Palmer come on, it's one of those ones where would he be the answer, make that difference? Who knows? Well, we might never know.
I think there's a lot of damage already, you see. So yeah. It's a bit after the Lord Mayor's show, isn't it? So, you know, the bloke's so out of touch, you could forgive him actually having a poor game anyway. Yeah. He should have been playing 20 games ago.
Yeah, exactly. And so we've got these seven games left now. Two big ones coming up Wednesday and Saturday, Cardiff and Nottingham Forest, who are both above us. If we can somehow win both of those, then yes, we may be back in a sniff. But that's a massive if, because we're not even getting the shots away. We're not having, as you said, Del, there's no relationships being built. There was the Baker and Callas one. Now that's been. You know, torn apart. You've got, you know, Vyman and Zizou had a bit of an understanding. They probably won't play again necessarily now as a two. So it is.
You'll start Zizou on Wednesday, Patch.
Yeah, you would have thought so.
Because Forest are a physical team, you'll start Zizou Wednesday. And again, he will look at the opposition and what do I need to do. So he will absolutely start Zizou. I think, like Rob said, it depends if he's being bloody minded about Palmer or not. But Casey Palmer's then coming into a team, again, knowing I've got to try and prove myself. I've got to try and create. I've got to try, you know.
And so, he'll be lambasted for trying something.
Yeah.
A little bit too, you know, continental.
And he's out of practice. You know, that's the thing. He'd be three games behind everybody else. And they don't look like they're ready either. I mean, on what we've seen.
The bit that amazes me, in two games against Blackburn and Sheffield Wednesday, and all right, Blackburn were going for playoffs, but they weren't great last week. And Sheffield. And you think, I just don't get it. And it... You know, I am a Palmer fan, but I'm a football fan, and he is our most creative player. He's the one who's likely to unlock things. If you listen to any of the City players who ask who's the most talented footballer down there, they all say Casey Palmer. So what is the difference? What's going on there?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, the thing as well is if us as fans, and you know, you've seen it all over Twitter, and even supporters of other clubs. I mean, I think Casey Palmer was trended on Twitter. It's still like in the top 20 trends of the country. And if other fans from other clubs can see it and they're asking why, then surely the players in the squad must be asking the same question as well.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's look ahead then to Wednesday. I've got a WhatsApp group going, and a couple of the lads have already said they fell out of love with it. They've almost given up. I would, and like you guys, I would probably watch City pre-season games. I'll start treating this a bit like pre-season now, and let's see what Viner can do in the middle. Let's introduce a few different scenarios and get as much out of Afobe as we can, because he's a pleasure to watch. You know, the first half when he was up for it, and that first 15 minutes, he just looked like such a complete footballer. He's got the look of a footballer. He's got the tactical nous. Even though he was playing out on the left, you could still see that he was wanting to get involved. He tried a crossfield pass at one point, which didn't come off very well. But I'm still excited to watch. I'm still looking forward to Wednesday, and I will look forward to Saturday as well. But Rob, what's your sort of expectations now for the next seven games? Your outlook?
My outlook is that we will have flattered ourselves to stay as high as we are.
So we're overachieving. We've been overachieving.
I think we are overachieving in 12th, because we have looked for a very long time now. And you can ignore the 3 months off, obviously, but we just look bang average at best. There's not many sides that we've played off the park. You know, wins, a lot of the wins we've got or draws we've got have been fairly fortuitous. I don't think I could count on one hand how many times that City have impressed me this season.
A lot of people have said that.
Yeah, and I think it's been, we've been a complete false economy. Johnson's been giving it spin, and I think actually a few things are coming home to roost now, and we are way off the mark. So I would be as dramatic to actually think, you know what, we're not going to achieve anything higher than what we are. Let's call it quits. Let's get somebody else in, and let's actually use the end of the season as an early start for whoever that new person is.
Matt, what's your thoughts? Has it come to the end for you now? It's only two games. So it's only two games from when we spoke 2 weeks ago.
You're right, Patrick.
And we were up for it. And
but I was this morning, Jill, my other half, said to me today, like, oh, you were so upbeat this morning. I've expected us to win both games. Because I look at that team and I think that team is far more capable than what they're showing. Rob's hit the nail on the head, and I probably have worn the same rose-tinted specs as you've worn, and probably the same with Martin and Dell as well. I like Lee Johnson. I liked him as a player. I think he does so many innovative things that he's introduced, and there may be other things that go on behind the scenes in terms of Martin's point with signings and things like that. But Rob has absolutely nailed it on the head. This season, and actually a fair chunk of last season, we haven't played well. We've managed to get results when we shouldn't really have got results, and we probably got results against poor teams. But when we've come up against anything, you know, a lot better than us, we've struggled. You know, Fulham away, well, we always do well there, but it was a bit of a backs to the wall game. So I probably, for the first time today, I'm probably looking at my phone thinking, oh, I wonder if that is going to come true, what Roy the Alien says about Chris Hughton. Which we know it won't, because Chris Hughton's not going to take the job here. But I actually don't think Steve Lansdowne, even if we finish 12th, I don't think Steve Lansdowne would get Lee Johnson, you know, would get rid of Lee Johnson. People will say, yeah, but Lee Johnson would do the honourable thing. No chance. Lee Johnson believes in what he's doing and believes that he will get City to the Premier League. So he won't go anywhere. So I do think it's time for a change, because I think he's run out of ideas and he's making basic decisions that I suppose all managers do when it comes to the end. Almost they pick players and positions. You kind of think, I don't know what you're doing there. Where's that come from? And that to me is what Lee Johnson's doing at the moment. And in terms of giving someone time, we don't know when this season finishes. In I don't know when the playoff final is. Is it end of July? Probably the next season is going to start September time. So it might only be a month between the two seasons. So, you know, you get someone in now, they might not have that long before the new season starts anyway. And we don't know what salary implications there are. So it's a different world. But yeah,
what do you think would happen? And it's not going to happen. But if Warnock took over next week, for example, at City,
I can't leave the Middlesbrough name.
No, but just theoretically, if he came in, what do you think he would do with the players we've got in the formation?
So do I think that Neil Warnock would get a more of a tune out of the squad of players we've got now? Absolutely. Absolutely at the moment.
And what would he do differently?
So Neil Warnock always goes for the basics, doesn't he? He gets you set solid. So his defence is his key thing. And then he plays conservative sort of football. So it is getting the ball, you know, forward quickly. But, you know, Middlesbrough were massively out of form and they go and get a 2-0 win yesterday. So, yeah, I do think... And I always come back to when you get rid of a manager, it's who are you going to bring in? And if we're going to bring in, I don't know, well, I can't even think of names, but Chris Hughton's the only one that I can honestly say would probably excite me at the moment. I don't think Chris Hughton would come, and therefore I don't know who, you know, I think if he gets rid of Johnson, Jamie McAllister will probably get the job.
Someone said Steve Bruce today as well, because they reckon he's going to go as soon as this consortium takes over.
Yeah, I can't see him.
Someone
phoned up on GT and said, you know, Steve Bruce or Sean Dyche. Sean Dyche isn't going to leave Burnley and come to Bristol City.
Unless Lee Johnson goes the other way.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, that could be part of the deal. But yeah, it is one of those things is who will come in. And, you know, Jamie McAllister has obviously got a lot less experience than even Lee Johnson has. So, yeah, it's a bit of a quandary. Martin, what are you thinking in terms of finishing position now?
I think we're where we deserve to be. At the moment, we're mid-table. Talent-wise in the squad, I think we're higher than mid-table side. I think we are a playoff side. But I think we've been through... We haven't got a consistent formation. One thing Warnock does, he sets out a 4-4-2. And the players coming in, and the player gets in, the player comes in, he knows exactly what his job is.
Yeah.
You're not confusing players, you're not confusing anybody. I mean, I'm a bit of a loss. I played football for a number of years, despite my weight now. And I want to know when football changed to you could be a better side without the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah. To me, that was always called losing when I was playing.
That was one of the stats on Sky today, wasn't it? We were more effective when we were a counter-attacking team and we didn't have the ball.
How could you be more effective without the ball? The game's called football.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get the ball, play with it. It's not.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd like to see him just go shit about the last six, seven games. We've got to win six if he wants the playoffs. I just can't see it.
No.
I think there'll be another half a dozen changes in the week and probably a different formation again.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest, even after the Blackburn game, we were voting with our hearts when we were saying we're still going to make the playoffs. After today, we're voting with our heads and our hearts saying we're not going to make the playoffs because we're not creating the chances, we're not getting the shots on target. We've changed the formation, we've changed the personnel. We'll do that again on Wednesday, Saturday. Obviously, I'd love to be proven wrong and somehow drift in, but I just cannot see it happening now. So, yeah, it's going to be a position around sort of 10th, 11th for me in terms of finishing position. And that should be enough to make Lansdowne think that a change is needed. But as
last year, eighth? Was it eighth last year?
Eighth
or seventh.
So I also don't think you can keep him in a job just because you don't know what's out there that could be better.
Yeah.
That's a bit of you're never going to know unless you do change it.
Rob's point again, it isn't even actually where we are in the league. It's performances.
The manner, isn't it? Yeah.
There's probably an unfair thing to say, but there's a bit of me that thinks as well, Lee Johnson did his damnedest to get rid of Steve Cotterill's team. He wanted his own team, and I think Corey Smith, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Corey Smith is the only player of that championship-winning team still at the club, and that's probably for another month. And he's
a Johnson player, though, isn't he?
He had
him at Oldham, didn't he?
Yeah, he is. I don't know. I can see Corey going, and actually, he's not playing great, but I think his influence is massive. But I think that's the thing for me, Patch, with it is the last 18 months. the football, you know, you go back to that Man City, the Man United game, the press and the football we were watching was a delight. It, you know, I've watched some of the best football I've ever seen Bristol City play under Lee Johnson. I have. But I'm also now watching some of what's right up there with the Pulis and the O'Driscoll rubbish that I've watched as well.
Mm. I mean, going back to that though, Matt, why do you think, you know, look at Brentford with the way they play in this system, they buy players to come in and play into that system. Why have we not gone out when we've sold players, like, you know, your Bryants and Packs and stuff have gone, to come back in and play that way? Why change the whole dynamics where we could, you know, we could buy players to come in who could fit into that system and you know, give them time to play that way? You know, the thing is, if we got, going back 3 years ago, if we had the squad that we've got now, or the size of the squad now, we would have probably finished in the playoffs, you know, 3 years ago.
I think he thinks De Silva, and probably he should be what Joe Bryan is. I think going forward, De Silva's very good. I think the sale of Marlon Pack, and it will surprise quite a few, but I think we've really, really missed Marlon Pack in that team.
Yeah. It's a double whammy, isn't it? Because it's my frustration with Pack is actually I felt he cheated quite a lot because he'd take the ball off the centre half.
Yeah.
The problem we've got now is we haven't got a ball playing centre half either. So we're two down, aren't we?
You've got Corey Smith coming back taking the ball, and for the greatest respect in the world, Corey can play a pass, but he's not someone who pings a pass and has got that real eye. I agree, Dale. I mean, Brentford sell players and they get players in who play in exactly the same. It goes back to the Rob's point about Liverpool. Liverpool sign players. Jurgen Klopp plays the same formation week in, week out. Doesn't change. They know a player can come into that team. Adam Lallana might come into the team having not played for 6 weeks. He knows exactly what he's got to do. I don't think there's a City player who's got a clue what they're meant to do when they come into the side.
No.
Yeah. All right, guys. So let's look at Wednesday then. What are you thinking he'll do? That's me, is not what we think. What do you think he will do? How many changes do you expect?
Are we going to get the Loneys back in the matchday squad?
No. He said after the game that basically the only way that rule can be invoked is if five or six go down with COVID, basically.
Right, okay.
I didn't realise there was that rule in place. It didn't make it clear, did it? No, I was sort of saying, oh, Walsh should come straight in, but you've got to be... They can only play if you wouldn't have been able to field a side and a bench without those players.
And you were saying that Freddie Hines would come back in before anyone else due to that, because he was the one who's been out.
First. So I know what he'll do then. He'll if he's going down the stubborn route, what he'll do is he'll go 4-4-2, and he'll play Palmer as one of two, which we all know isn't the right way to play him.
And he'll put Gil Martin in goal,
and he'll say, "There you go, not good enough."
Yeah,
I think Viner will come in at right back.
I welcome that.
Yeah, I think, because I Jack Hunt for me, I think, as I say, Famara will come in up top. Wells looked like he was coming, you know, struggling a little bit. So whether that's for Wells, I can't imagine it would be for a Phobie, but who knows. And I would play Nash instead of Masengo. I think that's an easy call to make.
We still don't really know what Masengo is, do we? And we all know he's a great player and going to be a great player, but he just got hustled off the ball too much today.
I think what we saw of him earlier, he's, as Matt says, he's a baller, really. Some of the stuff we saw early days and all that, you know, that running into the opposition box, it's just been pulled right out of him straight away.
He was doing the double drag backs in his early days. And we were like, I mean, that's why I've said about, I think he'd go to the very top, because I think he's got that ability. Mm. But he's been made to look a really ordinary player at the moment.
Yeah. And because, again, he doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah.
I think players are confused.
Yeah. Wasn't there something just before Christmas, November time, December time, when Lee Johnson was on about coaching him to stay in lanes. Did you hear about that?
Yeah.
So you do wonder, don't you, what what's being drilled into him. So, yeah.
Cool. All right, guys. We'll leave it there. But Rob, let's come back to your your brain teaser at the start. I've got a couple of ideas.
Right.
So I'll open the bat in, if you like, with Paul Scholes.
Paul Scholes is correct.
Okay. Any other chaps want to jump in?
I'll go Kevin Nolan.
Kevin Nolan is correct.
Anything else?
I've got another one. Mikel Arteta.
Nice.
No, not over 300.
Oh,
denied. And that was as good as I got.
You chaps got anything?
No.
Okay, well, Arteta, there is a player that is the letter A.
Oh, the Chelsea.
Anelka. Anelka.
Anelka. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And there is also a Bristolian in there as well.
Oh, crikey.
Is there?
Yeah.
Bristolian.
What letter?
D. Is where all our youth players used to go?
Southampton.
Yeah.
D.
Dodd.
Jason Dodd.
Jason Dodd. Jason Dodd. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bristolian, is he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did not know that. How many have we got left then?
Two to go. Both have played for Stoke.
No, not Crouch. Adams. Walters. No.
Shawcross.
Shawcross,
yeah.
Shawcross is one.
Shawcross, nice. One left to get.
Yeah.
Go on, give us. It's Stoke again, is it?
Stoke again. Defender again.
Hmm. Hoof.
Hoof, yes.
Good
show. Lovely. All right.
That's,
oh, yeah.
That's hard work, that six, isn't it, really?
Yeah, it is.
I got another one. We'll save it when we're more suicidal next time.
Actually, it was more hard work watching it at 12 o'clock, mate, than that. That was a relief.
Brilliant. All right, chaps. Thanks for your time. We've hit the magical hour mark, so we'll leave it there, and we will look forward to Wednesday.
Brilliant.
Six o'clock kickoff?
6 o'clock kickoff, yeah.
I'll be sure to miss that then.
Right, chaps, thanks for your time. You take care.
Thanks, guys. All the best.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers.